This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, the landlord of the House of Hardcore, the heart and soul of professional wrestling, Tommy Dreamer, and I talk all about NXT from last night. I thought a very good episode of NXT. Great main event and a return. We'll talk about it on this episode of Busted Open. Also, coming off of Full Gear and what we're going to see at Dynamite tonight, AEW owner and president Tony Khan, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. I love the, like, when Wesley gets the win, he's like, what happened? Like, he wasn't watching. Like, what happened? And then, like, Dijak comes back and he's like, who? That was priceless, Booker.
Listening to those sound bites, it's amazing how when we have, even with this show, you have your different feels for the person you're working with and how different of commentary is with between Wade and Booker. It's just, you and I are both listening to and laughing at the same exact moments because of exactly the same thing of what you just said. Who?
It's insane. But even Vic Joseph last night, there's one thing where, like, Booker had this explanation and then Vic Joseph was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it actually, like, it is. It's completely different between Wade Barrett and Booker T. But I think I actually love the chemistry between Vic Joseph and Booker T. Before we get into NXT, Tommy, I know you had a story that you wanted to share before the break.
Okay, this is how I live in my world. So, Dave, you understand that this is a real conversation that happened yesterday as I was driving to the grocery store.
Okay.
Twitter, there's a lot of hate on Twitter. And I said, what's his name? Elon Musk. He is the biggest heel right now. He's number one in the ratings. And I was talking to Beulah, and she has no clue. She's not on Twitter. She doesn't really follow that stuff. And then I go, you know how he doubled down on his heel heat? He tagged with Donald Trump and put Donald Trump back on Twitter to establish he's top heel. Now they're tag teaming. And she was just like, this is the stupidest conversation I've ever had. And I was like, yeah, but who else could I say this to? And she goes, probably Dave.
Yeah. And you know, I understand where you're coming from because you have wrestler's brain. Like, everything is wrestling to you.
But that's how I live my life. And it's, I'm okay with it.
And I think that's completely normal. So, you know, Beulah, I'm with Tommy on this one. So it's all about wrestler's brain. All right. I want to get into NXT with you, Tommy. I thought a very, very good show last night. Excellent main event for the North American Championship between Wesley and Carmelo Hayes.
And I like that they're giving those guys the time as well as the main event spot on the show. They delivered in a great, great way. They had an amazing match. Both guys super duper talented. And then the aftermath, I loved the graphic, how it looked like it was a cage over everybody's name. I was like, what? And then Dijak looking like when Das Wonder Kid Alex Wright turned heel. He's got that that type of Berlin. That was his name, right?
Yes.
Great to see him because his top WWE spot wasn't the best run. No. So hopefully something could happen for him like it did with Mandy Rose, where this could be a restart. A brand new level because, I mean, the guy's a good worker. I think he was called up too soon. And then he was also put in a horrible gimmick, but he wasn't there yet. And then thankfully he was able to get a second shot because old school management, he would have been released.
Yeah. No, and I think like a lot of what we're seeing over the last 3 or 4 months has been damage control. And I think Dijak, I love it with NXT, like let him reestablish himself on NXT. And I think it's going to be an easy transition. I think the fans are excited about him being back. He did his best work I feel in that black and gold brand of NXT. So I think this is definitely a win for Dijak. It's going to take a lot for Scripps. And seeing that, I love the vignettes leading up to what we saw last night. And then it's, you know, formerly, you know, Reggie on the main roster. You know, the fans, you could tell, it kind of let the air out of the building last night. It's going to take a lot of work because Reggie is another one I feel was like, you know, he's chasing the 24/7 championship. Nobody cared. Like, it's going to take a lot to reestablish him as somebody that you're going to get emotionally invested in.
And the vignettes were very, very powerful.
Yes.
And if you're going to be that powerful, it has to be this, in my opinion, a different type of person or personality that you're wrestling. And there was something about the look looked almost a little bit indie-ish and wasn't, I don't want to say let down, because I don't know the guy, but the guy's very, very talented. There's also, like, if you're coming from a comedy act, and then we also, it's hard because in this day and age, we know who you are. So how are we going to get over that you're this new persona? It's that's going to be the struggle. And hopefully it works out for him. And hopefully his talent will shine. And it, like you said, it's going to be an uphill battle for him, for Dijak. It's, if Scripps was Dijak, but you don't call him Scripps, those have been great vignettes.
I agree. And you know what, Tommy, and you notice how many times I come on the air and there's a change in character or a name change, and I think it's like the end of the world. But then after a while, you completely forget what happened. If he kills it and this really works and it clicks, you know, hopefully a month, 2 months down the road, you know, you're going to forget all about Reggie in that 24/7 championship.
This was this entire, I agree 1000%, but this entire episode, I enjoyed it. It was a lot of character development, and this is getting us, after this amazing show we just have, we're going to focus a lot of our attention to the main event, and this show is going to get us to next week. So not a whole lot of massive things are happening, not like a restart show. It was just like we had a successful tag title defense. There was nothing earth shattering up until our main event, which highly delivered, solid show, but again, a safe show. And I liked it. I liked it for a lot of those reasons, as well as, like I said, character building. We saw the next level of Schism. We saw a nice character piece on Bron Breakker. We saw a lot of where reasons why we're liking or wanting to develop liking or hating certain characters, as well as I like the opening segment, Toxic Attraction, their stars. And my only personal peeve is outcome our baby faces, and then our baby faces get beat up. That's just my own personal pet peeve.
Yeah, you know what, Tommy? It's just like when you're watching Toxic Attraction, they're just, their whole thing is there, you know, there's Toxic Attraction and then there's everyone else. I kind of feel the same way watching Toxic Attraction. Like, they just made this new t-shirt available. I'm sure it's selling well. They're stars. Like, they're very comfortable with each other. They have great chemistry with each other. And it's very hard to have a promo battle with Toxic Attraction because they're so good, starting with Mandy Rose. And this is no disrespect, you know, to Chase and Carter, but it's just like, they're not going to be able to hang with Toxic Attraction on the microphone. And I don't think they were able to do that last night.
But you got to give the talent the opportunity. You got to give the talent the reps to do it. I mean, we talked about when Wheeler Yuta was on the microphone all against MJF. You need those reps to continue to become a star. And those two women are stars. They're the NXT tag champions. And I really, really like them. But you're right, Toxic Attraction. And please, please, please keep that group together, because that group is money once they get called up to either Raw or SmackDown as well. And, you know, Dave, we always talk about this, like, for who's the person to beat Roman Reigns, who's the person, you know, to beat Bron Breakker, but who's the person to beat Mandy Rose? I don't know if that person exists yet, because we have Zoe Stark, but Zoe's now a heel.
Yep.
So she's not going to have that focus unless you're going to have you know, she's the one who gets rid of Toxic Attraction will just add to her heat.
Yeah, and you know what? Zoe Stark, speaking of that, and I think she's really adjusted well into this heel character. I really liked her match last night. I'm interested to see what the match is going to be or how it's going to be with Lions. That's going to be interesting. But Zoe Stark's on another level. And somebody else, too, Tommy, that I think is on another level as a heel is Cora Jade. I never bought into Cora Jade's character, but I like the heel turn, and I'm really buying into her being a heel on NXT.
A young, brash kid with a chip on her shoulder and an attitude will get over to a lot of people. They won't like her. She is another but again, we're naming heels when you have a heel-heavy champion. So it's either you have to turn Mandy on her way out, but then, it's hard to do stuff like that because if you're a heel in the one group and then you turn babyface and then you want to bring you up heel on the main roster, it's people are watching. When people get called up, they pop for them. So it's a hard thing to navigate, but I know that they will do a great job.
And I like the match too. It started off a little slow with Wendy Choo, but I really thought it heated up at the end. And then we see Wendy Choo crying in the middle of the ring after that loss. I'm hoping, Tommy, that this is leading to a character change in Wendy Choo. I get the gimmick, the whole thing. It was fun for a while. But if you're going to take Wendy Choo seriously, I think it needs to be a bit of a change. And hopefully we're getting that. And I think we are after what we saw last night.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And I hope she goes to where you go a sleep study. And they cure her narcolepsy, and then she comes back as a regular person. That's how it's supposed to be. Because she's a great wrestler, and it's hard to take somebody like that serious, to your point.
Yes.
If you missed anything this week on Mad Dog Sports Radio, I got you covered. It's Mike Babchick's Morning After, where we play back the best clips of the week and recap in a way you have never heard before. It's a roast like no other, and no one is safe. Not Mad Dog, not anyone. This is a Morning After walk of shame you actually won't regret. You can find Mike Babchick's Morning After on SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
AEW owner and president, Tony Khan. Tony, good morning to you, and thanks, as always, for the time.
Good morning to you, Dave. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you. And there's so much to talk about, as there always seems to be when you have on. But let's start with this past Saturday. Full Gear, sold-out crowd in Newark, New Jersey. Hot crowd in Newark, New Jersey. And I said this on Monday, Tony, and listen, there's a lot of shows you can compare it to, but I felt like what I saw on Saturday was, to me, the best AEW pay-per-view that I've been in attendance for, and I've been in attendance for a lot of them. Man, what a special night this past Saturday.
That's really high praise, Dave. Thank you. And I felt like it was an amazing show, and you've been to a lot of the pay-per-views, and for you to say that you thought it was the best one you've seen, that means a lot. I loved the show. It was a great success for AEW. And now tonight on TBS, coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central local time here in Chicago, we have a great AEW Dynamite to follow up on what was an awesome AEW Full Gear this past Saturday night.
Well, you said it a long time ago, kind of like in passing. You're like, hey, we do our pay-per-views right. And you really, that has stood by me. You have been a man of your word, but it's like that passing statement. And I was like, man, they really do deliver, because you think of what Dave just said. We say this about all of your pay-per-views, like they keep on getting better, which is a testament to everything that you put together. But your players on the field, the wrestlers, have they all stepped up? And the best part about it is then what we have the follow-up. Because it still has everybody talking. It's like, okay, here's this, but now wait a minute. It's all starting again, heading towards the next big one. But kudos to you, because I know you're a wrestling fan and you give the fans their money's worth.
I really appreciate that, Tommy. I am so glad you like the show too. And we always try to have great pay-per-view events. Full Gear has always been a great event. This was the fourth annual Full Gear, and now I think we're 4 for 4. That show has been great every single year since we started, and it's always fun to follow up on Full Gear on Dynamite, and very cool that we're going into Thanksgiving week tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and I think we have a lot to celebrate tonight on TBS.
Well, it's the fallout from Full Gear tonight, and probably the biggest thing, and there was a lot coming out of Saturday, but we do have a new AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Obviously, MJF, you know, not exactly in the most thankful moods with the media, with the audience, or with you afterwards from Full Gear. But, I mean, Tony, what did you think of the match, and how do you feel about having MJF representing AEW right now as the world champion?
Oh, well, it's a great question, Dave. It's a great question. I am really, first of all, I thought the match was tremendous. Jon Moxley is such a great star for AEW and has been such a great world champion. I thought Moxley versus MJF really delivered as a main event. And coming out of it, I think a lot of the fans saw MJF's true colors. And he revealed what he's been all about all along, which is himself, MJF. And in the end, he walked away as world champion, and it was a historic night for AEW. Now I'm excited tonight to hear Regal and hear from William Regal, hopefully some explanation for why he did this, but also in the weeks and months to come, I mean, we'll hopefully find out more from MJF. You know, recently he's given people question to think about what kind of character MJF is and what he was going to do to become the champion. Clearly he showed he would do anything, whatever it takes to become the champion. And now tonight we'll find out who his first challenger is going to be. Winter is coming, and we've got a great match tonight, a tournament final for the AEW World Championship Eliminator Tournament, with Ethan Page taking on Ricky Starks in the tournament final tonight on Dynamite for the right to challenge MJF at Winter is Coming.
And also, we're going to hear from William Regal tonight. So, man, there's I guess, a lot of explaining to do on the fallout from Full Gear tonight on Dynamite.
Well, there'll be some, but there's also a lot of great wrestling. And I think the most important thing in AEW is always wrestling. And there's been a lot of great stories and storytelling, and all of it came together at Full Gear with a lot of great matches. And I thought it was one of the best nights in AEW, and now tonight we're going to follow up on it in a very significant way. Another thing I'm really excited for tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite, on the Thanksgiving Eve edition, coming off a great Full Gear, we had the World Trios Championship with the Death Triangle taking on the Elite. It was a great match. The ending had some controversy, and I thought the best way to settle the World Trios Championship is by making this a best-of-seven series. The Death Triangle now up 1-0 after the first match, and it will be great to have the World Trios Championship series continuing tonight on TBS. Everybody saw at Full Gear, if you were able to watch the pay-per-view, an incredible match between the Death Triangle and the Elite. And I can't wait to see that match on Dynamite tonight. You know, the Death Triangle and the Elite, even though the individuals and the teams have battled a lot, the trios, actual 3-on-3 matches, that was the first time we've ever seen it on pay-per-view. And we've only seen it once before on TV. It was January 1st, 2020 in Jacksonville, Florida, Daly's Place on the Homecoming Dynamite. It's crazy to think that was almost 3 years ago. So it's been a long time since we've seen Death Triangle versus the Elite, and this is the most significant match they've ever had tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite, as that series is now 1-0 Death Triangle.
I had asked Dave before you came on, what was it like live for him when you heard Kansas playing? Now for you, what was that like for you? Because I just like Dave, will now always associate the Young Bucks and the Elite with that. But I mean, I'm a big Supernatural fan, love that song. But for you, man, because you made that happen. And what was that like, man?
It was tremendous. It's a great song, and it was a song that the Elite had hoped to secure for their entrance, and we were able to get it done. Kansas and the people that they use for licensing were very reasonable and fair with us, I thought, and that's how we got it done. And absolutely, it was a great moment when the Elite returned to AEW at AEW Full Gear, and that entrance to Kansas, Wayward Son, it was amazing. And now it's really going to be interesting to see them tonight, not only making that entrance in Chicago, but also being able to really continue this great rivalry as a series. Who knows what's next in this great series? I mean, with these six men in the ring, these two trios, anything can happen in the ring. And I think they showed they can take this rivalry to a new level at the pay-per-view. And it was certainly a very interesting ending to the match, with Rey Fénix showing that he will now do whatever it takes to keep these World Trios Championships. And possibly the influence of Pac is now rubbing off on Rey Fénix and his brother, Penta El Zero Miedo, now too.
Another great match on Saturday was the four-way for the Ring of Honor World Championship. I can't wait, Tony, for the match that we're going to see tonight for that championship title.
Well, it feels like a matchup you could see at a huge pay-per-view event, either at a Forbidden Door or even in Japan at a Wrestle Kingdom event. Very excited tonight to see Tomohiro Ishii return to AEW for the title shot he had earned earlier this year. He says he wants to challenge Chris Jericho for the Ring of Honor World Championship. And that is just a great match, truly a dream match in AEW, and certainly a very, very unique match between two of the great wrestlers of the last several decades, two wrestlers who come up in very different ways, but actually, when you go back, their first interaction was almost 30 years ago in Japan, and the roads that led these two men to meet in a world championship match tonight on TBS, it's amazing the paths these two men took to get here for this great match on Dynamite tonight.
It's like we keep on talking about like these amazing matchups that Jericho is having, as well as like the different styles. And it's like, I don't see an end to this greatness, because it's just these matches that he keeps having. He's really, really stepped up. I don't know, like, I could have any more praise for what Jericho's doing on a, you know, constant basis. I mean, he just came off of his own Fozzy tour to have that match on Saturday. And then a couple of days later, he's going to have a very, very physical matchup, because I know what Ishii brings. And it's just like, it's awesome to see as a fan, as a peer. But then for you, like, hey, man, you've invested a lot of time and energy on these guys, and they all keep delivering. It's such a great thing to see, you know, each and every week.
Absolutely. And Chris Jericho in 2022 has done some of the best wrestling of his career. If you're a Chris Jericho fan, look at all the great matches Jericho's had this year. Some of the best, whether it was individual matches like competing against Eddie Kingston at Revolution earlier this year, or some of the great matches Chris has had as the Ocho, defending the championship against great wrestlers. The four-way match, certainly at Full Gear, was one of the best. He had a great match with Bryan Danielson in the Grand Slam Tournament of Champions. Also a great match with Claudio at Grand Slam to win the championship. Has defended it against Bandido. And now he's facing, in many ways, the toughest opponent I think he's wrestled, because Tomohiro Ishii is coming here focused on Jericho. Jericho coming off a really difficult four-way match. It was really a hard-hitting match that took a lot out of all four men. And now Chris defending the title just a few days later against one of the hardest hitters in all of pro wrestling, Tomohiro Ishii.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that tonight. Also tonight, and listen, we all know how important social media is in 2022, and I've been seeing some of these clips, but, you know, Jade and Bow Wow, Like, you know, I guess we're going to get a little bit more info about, you know, some of the things that have been going on between those two.
Yeah, which is very interesting. We saw TMZ picked up that Jaden the Baddies went after Bow Wow at his concert. It was interesting situation, got a lot of press for Jade and the Baddies and for Bow Wow. And we'll follow up on it and give the fans some info on that situation tonight on Dynamite.
And Jade with this win streak has been pretty impressive, and an impressive match with Nyla Rose on Saturday as well.
Yeah, that was an impressive win for Jade. And absolutely, she's very impressive in and out of the ring. And now we'll find out what she's been up to out of the ring after she retained her championship in the ring. And speaking of the great champions and championships, great to crown a new interim women's world champion, Jamie Hayter. And what a match it was, Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm on Saturday at Full Gear. One of the best matches on a great card of matches at Full Gear.
Toni, I was obviously in the crowd for that match. And listen, Toni Storm is a fan favorite. But man, the fans have really rallied around Jamie Hayter. There was one point, I thought I was in the old ECW arena for a minute. At one point in the match, everybody thought Toni Storm was going to pick up the victory. And like fans around me were getting physically angry. It's unbelievable how much the fans have supported Jamie Hayter.
Yeah, Jamie Hayter has really built a following through a lot of hard work and earned this reputation. And now I think as champion, the fans will see that hard-hitting physical style she brings to the ring. And people wanted to see Jamie Hayter as world champion, and they've gotten what they asked for.
I'm interested in, because it's always styles make different styles make great fights. I've been in the ring with both these guys, Jake Hager and Orange Cassidy. And Jake's a badass, man. I don't think people realize how tough of a human being he is besides his MMA background. Versus Orange Cassidy. I saw how the match was made, but I honestly think Orange Cassidy, who has gone out each and every week and proven what a great performer he is, but I think he really has to not underestimate, but realize what this force that he's got with Jake Hager facing him tonight.
Absolutely. Jake Hager, one of the toughest men in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts now. Jake Hager is not only somebody who watches Chris Jericho's back. Jake Hager himself is a former world champion. He's been a champion all over the world, and he's somebody who could be a great AEW All-Atlantic champion. And as you said, we saw these men cross paths at AEW Full Gear, Tommy. And now I'm also really looking forward to this match tonight on TBS for the All-Atlantic Championship. Orange Cassidy versus Jake Hager. A lot of great wrestling, a lot of great stuff on AEW Dynamite tonight going into Thanksgiving. Should be a great Thanksgiving Eve show tonight. And, you know, also one of the great ingredients to a pro wrestling event is the fans. And the fans in Chicago are tremendous, and we are going to have a great crowd tonight. It's one of our best TV crowds we're going to see this year, and real excited for it, and even more fans than the last time we did TV here at Wintrust Arena. And we had a great crowd then, and should be even bigger and better tonight for Dynamite on TBS.
Again, TBS tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern time, AEW Dynamite. Going back to Saturday for just a second, you know, Toni, you always come on the air and you love to give the fans what they want. You know, for the first time in almost 5 years, we saw Saraya in the ring with that match with Dr. Britt Baker at Full Gear. Pretty special moment on Saturday.
What a great match. What a great moment for Saraya and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. And Saraya, with a great debut in AEW, picked up a great win in her first ever match here in her return to the ring. It was a very emotional moment. It was great for her to be able to celebrate with family. And we're all really happy for Saraya. And certainly Dr. Britt Baker, her opponent, also wrestled a great match. Both of them should be really proud, I think, of what they did at AEW Full Gear this past weekend, and very excited for both of them.
I know there's a personal and a professional. I watched the press conference that our very own Gabby was part of. MJF comes in, basically just cuts a promo on everybody, and then walks out. Personally, how do you feel about this? And then professionally, how do you feel about it?
Well, I think that professionally, MJF's really, really widely followed wrestler who is currently somebody fans all over the world are captivated by. So MJF is the kind of wrestler for AEW that you do want as a champion, MJF. And me personally may not see eye to eye, but I do think that he is, for the fans, somebody a lot of people, whether he breaks the rules, whether he says terrible stuff, no matter what he does, people seem to follow him. But on the other hand, I think he revealed his true colors to a lot of the fans this week. So, you know, as the weeks go on, it'll be interesting to see how fans do react to MJF. And I know he'll be following very closely tonight what happens in the Eliminator Tournament when Ethan Page takes on Ricky Starks for that opportunity to wrestle MJF for the world title at Winter is Coming.
Well, it's cool that you're able to differentiate the two, because a lot of bosses wouldn't. He didn't fool anybody. I know he's a scumbag and he's a piece of shit, just like Dave said. Excuse me for cursing. And MJF, I know you listen. No offense.
Wow. All right, Tommy. I love it. And I agree with the statement. Tony, it sounds like we talk about this wrestler every time we have a AEW pay-per-view, and we've been speaking his name for many decades, Sting. Again, Sting winds up doing something that I never would expect Sting would do, and he did it again this past Saturday.
Well, Sting continues to amaze wrestling fans all over the world. It was great to get Sting back in action, teaming with Darby Allin. They picked up a great win over Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett in a tag team match. Anytime you see Sting step into the ring, it's a very special. And really, we've tried to protect it, make it feel like a big deal. But frankly, Sting is just somebody who goes above and beyond for AEW every time he goes into the ring. What a signing he's been for us. And again, at AEW Full Gear, Sting delivered in another great match.
Dude, I mean, honestly, like you've seen it. Think of what Terry Funk did for ECW. And Sting is 7 years older than him than when Terry was doing it. That's insane to me, the body of work that that guy is doing. I've always been a Stinger Mark, but man, so much respect for him. And he does it because he loves it, which is so, so cool.
He does it because he loves it. You're absolutely right, Tommy. He loves the wrestling fans, and he loves going out there and having these great matches. And it's great for AEW that we get to have Sting on our big pay-per-view events, on a lot of our big shows. And he always delivers. His partner, Darby Allin, one of the most exciting young wrestlers in the world. And I thought Darby also went out there and just absolutely threw caution to the wind. And what a great match and what a great win for Darby Allin and Sting.
You know, Tony, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and I want to thank you for not just the wrestling, but for always giving our fans, the nation, your time. We truly appreciate it. And man, have a happy Thanksgiving, man. Take some time and appreciate all the things you've done. But I just want to say thank you for always giving up your time on Wednesdays. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.